tabulations have been common on the fringes for years.
George Soros's Open Society Foundation.
But now, his name saturates nearly every corner of the GOP ecosystem. The longtime investor and philanthropist became the target of misinformation and conspiracies starting in the 1990s. Extremists in the U.S. and Europe cast him as a central figure in a secret cabal of Jews and globalists working to take over the world.
The economy has actually been humming along. Questions about whether or not it's been financed in the right way and who's going to get the benefits of it. But they haven't been running on that. They've been running on an imaginary caravan.
If the mainstream media actually began reporting facts again, they would quickly learn that the migrant caravans are not only a reality, but they are no accident. Back in July of 2018, Reuters reported on the 193 UN member nations that entered into a non-binding mass global migration pact that is set to be adopted during a conference in Morocco on December 10th through the 11th of 2018. Miroslav Lajcik, president of the UN General Assembly, told a media briefing the official global compact for safe, orderly, and regular migration addresses why people migrate, how to protect them, and how to integrate them into new countries. However, the United States, Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Austria, and the Czech Republic have pulled out of the pact. The U.S. had previously entered into the pact under Barack Obama, regardless of the fact that the pact violates our immigration laws. The pact states that it is rooted in the UN's 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the Addis Ababa Action Agenda. The Addis Ababa Action Agenda was a conference held in Ethiopia in July of 2015. This agenda stated, "We will work to ensure that adequate and affordable financial services are available to migrants and their families in both home and host countries." These documents answer the question, how do a dozen Honduran migrants decide to sue the President of the United States of America and a handful of federal agencies based on the Fifth Amendment and a little-known ruling by the Supreme Court without any legal assistance? As Fox News reported, the lawsuit also claims that the Plaintiffs' Right to Administrative Procedures Act and the Declaratory Judgment Act were being infringed upon. And this is nothing new to Soros and USAID, who funneled money to aid Georgia's Rose Revolution in 2003, the Ukraine's Orange Revolution in 2004, and Kyrgyzstan's Tulip Revolution in 2005. Recently, Judicial Watch used a FOIA request to uncover how USAID funds were funneled to Soros's left-wing Open Society foundations in Albania, particularly the Soros operation efforts to give the socialist government greater control of the judiciary. USAID reportedly gave $9 million in 2016 to the Justice for All campaign, which is overseen by Soros's East-West Management Institute. Also, the New York Times reported Mr. Soros has given his main group, the Open Society foundations, $32 billion for what it calls democracy-building efforts in the United States and around the world. In addition, in the United States, Mr. Soros has personally contributed more than $75 million over the years to federal candidates and committees, according to the FEC and the IRS. A MasterCard press release boasted, MasterCard and George Soros announced plans called Humanity Ventures. The enterprise could catalyze and accelerate economic and social development for vulnerable communities around the world, especially refugees and migrants. With the creation of Humanity Ventures, Soros could invest up to $50 million to make these solutions even more scalable and sustainable. Slovenian outlet Nova 24 reported, a Croatian officer stated, the migrants we catch and return back in a few days or weeks are again trying to break into Croatia. Some of them are really poor, but many are well equipped. They have new footwear, new clothes, sophisticated smartphones, weapons, and some have also been found with MasterCard bank cards without name. They are just numbers. They withdraw money at ATMs, but we do not know who pays them. Essentially, the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, and yes, George Soros and his Open Society Foundation are implementing their sustainable agenda and replacement migration goals down the throats of sovereign nations by coercion, financing and aiding globalist armies of political pawns in their unyielding quest to disrupt the sovereign population with unaccountable NGOs in order to quicken the establishment of a one-world government.
com from John Bowne. We'll be right back with more on the other side. This is The War. mere hours away from the midterm elections. And I got to tell you, I honestly have midterm election fatigue. How many polls do I have to see? How many different guesses do I have to see? How many different panels? How much bullcrap do I have to see in the next 24 hours? Please, God, just let us get through these midterms without another chaotic mess. That's all I ask. But here we are, and look, it's the same stuff you saw before the presidential election in 2016. All the different polls. They say Democrats have, you know, 87-90% chance to win the House. Well, okay. No. Nobody knows. I'm so sick of all these experts with their polls and their breakdowns and their analysis. And they never actually seem to talk about the only things that really matter. You ever notice that? Everyone's got a poll. Everyone's got a scenario. Everyone's got an identity politic box that they assume they understand. And then they say, oh, based on my political science, Democrats have an 88% chance of taking the House.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, and I have been doing the science, okay? I've been doing the polling science, and Hillary Clinton is clearly going to win the presidential election. I mean, how would you even doubt me? I'm Nate Silver. I'm the New York Times. I'm the Washington Post. Oh, and you were all wrong. And your polls were all wrong. And yet to this day, you still can't figure it out. All the empirical evidence, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sitting here telling you a red wave is coming, okay? All I'm telling you is that all the empirical evidence tells you a red wave is coming. I don't have some phony poll, some polling bank, some phone poll. I mean, who even gets polled? Who are these people even polling? Have you ever met anybody that's ever been polled by these people? I've never been polled. I've never met anybody that's been polled. Are these even real people they're polling? Or do they just make it up? No, all the empirical evidence says a red wave is coming. Let's just look at one example. Former President Barack Hussein has been going around doing campaigns for Democrats. President Donald Trump has been going around doing campaigns for Republicans. Who gets a bigger crowd? It's not even close. Donald Trump by 10 times. See, that's empirical evidence. When I go out and I wear a Trump hat, just out in public, and let's say 10 people see me, 5 of them either wink at me, nod at me, or give me an A-OK sign, just kind of like, hey, you know, Fight Club, first rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. By the way, Michael Avenatti tries to steal that from us now. Won't matter, he's no one. He's a loser. He is one of the biggest losers on earth, though. So it's like, you know, head nod, you know, nice hat, you know, A-OK. First rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And then 4 out of 5 just don't really care. Not really politically inclined at all, informed. So they just don't really care. They see the hat and, oh, whatever. Maybe they don't even know what the hat means. And then there's the 1 out of 10 that hates you. There's 1 out of 10 that gets rabid. But 5 out of 10, nice hat. Hey, thanks for wearing that hat out. Now, what do you call that? That's called empirical evidence. Evidence that cannot be denied, evidence that exists right in front of you. Donald Trump is having a rally right now. I believe he's in Cleveland, 20,000 plus people. His final rally in Missouri. Now, the rally he had in Houston, Texas had over 100,000 RSVP, 50,000 turnout. I'm going to make a bold prediction. When is his rally in Missouri tonight, guys? Can we pull up DonaldJTrump.com rallies? I believe his final rally is tonight. In Missouri, my home state, and I think tonight may be his biggest rally ever. And they tell you, this is how I know the polls are fake. They tell you that Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley are in a tight race for the Senate seat in Missouri. No, they're not. Claire McCaskill is so behind in the polls. She's now saying pro-Trump stuff. She's now saying protect the border. She's now saying cut the taxes. Yeah, there it is. Cape Girardeau, Missouri tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be the most raucous Trump rally ever. Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and Lee Greenwood. It's going to be that might be the biggest Trump rally ever. Cape Girardeau. Now, this is a small little town, southeast Missouri. And it's going to have so much traffic tonight, they won't even know what to do. Because, see, that's what happens when Trump goes to these small towns. He shuts the town down. You have to shut it down because there's so many people coming into town. Now, I'm excited for this because what time is that rally tonight, guys? 6? So we'll be live. Here's images from Fort Wayne, Indiana right now, where I guess he's having his second rally of the day. So he already rallied in Ohio. That's concluded, 20,000 people. You've now got 20,000 plus people coming out in Fort Wayne, Indiana, kind of a bigger town in northern Indiana. Nice town there. I have family there. And then tonight, in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, it's going to get crazy. Wow. In fact, I wonder when the last time Rush Limbaugh did a public speaking appearance was. I bet you it's been years. We should see if that's even a story, because that is a story. Because Limbaugh did the Rush to Excellence tour in the 90s, where he basically changed the game of talk radio and then conservative media. And he used to get thousands and thousands of people to go out to the Rush to Excellence tour. He hasn't been on tour in such a long time. This is just going to be massive. Rush Limbaugh going back to his hometown with Donald Trump, with Sean Hannity, with Lee Greenwood. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is so amazing. Oh, that's going to be a fun time, ladies and gentlemen. That is going to be a fun time. If you're anywhere near Cape Girardeau, Missouri, I'd hop in your car and start heading. Because that's going to be a blast. There's going to be some serious energy. Now, again, where do you have anything that can match that on the Democrat side? Where do you have anything you can even compare to that on the Democrat side? There's nothing. So where do they get these estimates saying Democrats are going to take the House 87% chance? It's all made up, folks. It's all a figment of their imagination. It's all based off fake polling. So I'm expecting a red wave, maybe not like a tsunami, like everything goes red, but I expect Republicans will have 52 seats in the Senate and they will maintain the House. And what does it tell you that you've already seen the left engaging in election meddling? You say, oh, stop it with that hearsay. Well, what do we know? We know they're censoring conservatives off social media. We know that they shadow ban Republicans and President Trump from their posts getting seen. We know that Hollywood and everybody else comes out with a bunch of propaganda for the Democrats against Trump. We know that three of the women now that accused Brett Kavanaugh of rape or sexual assault have all said they made it up. It was a Democrat plan from the beginning. So again, where is all this evidence of the Democrat wave? Where is all this evidence of a blue wave? Barack Obama got shouted down over the weekend by Jacob Engels and a few others when he was campaigning for Gillum in Florida. Jacob Engels is going to be joining us at 5:06 with Roger Stone when he takes over. Scott Pressler at 3:30. All my evidence, all my seeing and hearing and experiencing says that Republicans will maintain Congress and the left is going to even go into a deeper panic mode.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned.
Joining me in the next segment is Scott Pressler.
And I'll
and
keep this world.
I really admire Scott for his political activism and his courage. And you'll see why when he joins us. But this is a guy who has basically dedicated himself to campaigning for, you could say Republicans, but it's really the Trump agenda to make sure Republicans maintain the Congress. And the guy's literally just going nationwide, city to city, holding signs at streets, holding signs over highways, meeting with people. He gets assaulted, you know, when he goes out in a Trump hat. So he's going to be joining us. But it is inspiring to see people go active and do such a thing. So I am now announcing, made the announcement on the Alex Jones Show earlier today. I just tweeted out the final location. 5 p.m. today in Austin, Texas, the InfoWars Army is meeting at the Riverside Bridge over Highway 35. 5 o'clock today in Austin, Texas, the InfoWars Army is meeting on the Riverside Bridge in Austin, Texas, over Highway 35. Now, I've got, I think, 12 signs. So I've got big, huge signs we can hold up. And it's all talking about the record economic growth under Trump, the record job growth under Trump. And then there's a sign that says, vote red, vote Dem out. So this is what we're doing as a final act of desperation before the midterm elections tomorrow. But you've really seen the left get crazier and crazier and more despicable by the day, where you then have Pete Davidson, who got famous because he dated Ariana Grande, and then I guess he sent something to Mac Miller, who ended up killing himself, and I don't know the whole deal with that. But regardless, he's an SNL comedian, and over the weekend, he mocked a veteran who lost his eye in combat. Now, you think about that. Look at that sick individual behind me. It's like when you watch the Hunger Games, you know how they have those like leaders that put on all the makeup, and you could these are sick people. That is a sick man right there. I shouldn't even call him a man. That is a sick blob of existence. But of course, what is it really? That's an NPC. But it's funny now for the left to mock veterans who lost their eye in combat. But it's not even that. Here's how out of touch with reality they are. He doesn't understand when he mocks Dan Crenshaw because he lost an eye, he mocks every veteran that has ever lost anything from their combat role. So he's mocking amputees. He's mocking people that have gone blind. For example, Sarah Carter's husband, an Afghanistan war veteran, went blind. Yeah, she wasn't too happy about that. But we should really be thanking Pete Davidson for helping Republicans maintain Congress with a segment like that. I don't even know if I want to play it, to be honest, because I really don't want to yell today, and my voice is already basically gone. But, you know, it's the old joke. What is the difference between a bucket of crap and Pete Davidson? The bucket. So that's what you get. But it doesn't even stop there. Now, I don't know what you want to think about this. This is some guy, Rob Russo, some leftist based in Canada. Now, again, I was turned on to this tweet because, again, this is some, verified Twitter leftist who's mocking Dan Crenshaw for losing his eye. But after seeing that, I went and I looked at this sick individual a little bit more, and I found this from Rob Russo. Now, I've never heard of this guy. He says, he's a Canadian. He says, so I've already used up almost all my American Social Security numbers on voting illegally, but I've got a few left. If someone is working a close race and is short, DM me and I'll hook you up. Now, look, I don't know if this is real or not. This could be a joke. I went down as far as I could reading this guy's tweets to find out if this really was a joke. And he never made any implication that this was a joke. He said other such things. But then you go read all the comments under this tweet, and it's people saying the same stuff. I'm Canadian. I voted for Beto. One guy says he voted for Beto 10 times. So why is it that Canadians are bragging about getting involved in American elections? Now, if it was Russians, it would be a mainstream story. But since it's Canadians, I guess nobody wants to investigate it or talk about it. But again, it just shows you how out of touch with reality people are when we say the Democrats are the ones engaged in all this election fraud and election meddling. And they say, no, that's the Russians. That's the Russians. And you say, wait, you're right. It was the Russians that held a Hillary Clinton parade that got publicized and promoted by CNN. And Michael Moore did a live stream from it. Never happened to InfoWars. Never happened to any Republicans. Then you have Bobby Lee. This is Hollywood again. Donald Trump tweets out, new Fox poll shows 40% approval rating by African Americans for President Trump, a record for Republicans. Thank you, a great honor, says President Trump. Bobby Lee responds, Kanye West, Ben Carson, Candace Owens, that weird sheriff from Wisconsin, I count four. Hashtag Blue Wave 2018. So again, here's what this really is from Hollywood. Here's what this really is from the mainstream media. The reason why they're so out of touch with reality, ladies and gentlemen, is because they never go out into it. The reason why they really believe no black people support Trump is because they don't hang out with black people. They don't know any black people. They don't have any black friends. The reason why they think Trump is so unpopular is because they never go outside of their own bubble of either their protected Hollywood status or their protected media status. So they genuinely are out of touch with reality because they don't even live in it. They don't associate with the average American. They don't talk to the average American. And quite frankly, they don't give a damn about the average American. They are above you. They control your life. They are the rich and famous. They think you are obsessed with them. They think they are gods and idols. But it's all wavering away, and they just can't accept it, and they refuse to see it because they're still on their high horse, ignoring everybody that they have been stepping on for decades. But guess what? They're not stepping on us anymore. They're stepping into quicksand, and they haven't realized it yet. So I expect there to be a Republican Congress, Senate, and House. And you're going to see more panic from the left. They're probably going to get even more vile. They're probably going to get even more violent. And that's just the trend. And we'll see what happens from there on out. But that's where I think this is going, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I haven't even plugged yet. Scott Pressler is coming up on the other side. I don't want to take too much of his time, but folks, please remember InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we do all of this. That's how we're able to do this live stream. I think we're going to be live till midnight tonight. I'll be in. Then we're going to be live for, I think, 36 hours coming up for the midterm elections. And will it be behind me the red wave? Will it be the red wave? Only time will tell. But the empirical evidence says yes.
Infowars.com/show. Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
You know, it really is like, it's like we just hit the 2-minute warning. Right now, I feel like we just hit the 2-minute warning. Fourth quarter, Super Bowl. And I'd say we're probably up by a field goal, but we have to run out the clock successfully. We have to get one more first down. We have to drain the opponent of all their timeouts, and then we take victory formation. And I think we're well in the position to do that, but it's all about finishing the job. Now, I wonder if Scott Pressler feels the same way as me, because he's been working his tail off leading up to these midterms as well. So I bring in Scott Pressler, my guest. Find him on Twitter at Scott Pressler. Scott's doing great work. It was wonderful to meet him a couple weekends ago, finally in person at the walkaway march. But Scott, do you have the same feeling as me right now? I mean, you've been pushing hard. You've been doing everything you can to get the vote out, specifically for Absolutely. Conservative values. Do you kind of feel that same thing? Like we're in the 2-minute warning right now, and we're about to, you know, okay, break from the 2-minute warning, get back to the line of scrimmage. And we're like, all right, we got to run this play. They're going to call a timeout. We got to run another play. We got to get the first down. Then we got to run the clock out, get in victory formation. Where do you feel we're at right now in this two minute warning?
I don't think anybody knows. I think we have to keep pushing. We cannot listen to the polls. We cannot listen to anything that anybody is saying. Conventional wisdom told us in 2016 that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and we proved them wrong. The fact of the matter is that all of these elections going on tomorrow, this November, are going to be tight. They're going to be close. I don't think there's going to be a red wave or a blue wave. The Democrats are very hungry for this win. They are doing everything in their power to win. So we have to put on our work boots, roll up our sleeves, make phone calls, knock on doors, and don't for a second hesitate or stop pushing. I'm going out as soon as I finish this interview with you, and I'm going to go knock on doors in a swing district in Florida, here in Orlando, knock on doors for Rick Scott, Ron DeSantis, and Mike Miller for Congress. So I'm not stopping for a second.
So you're in Florida now, but you've been basically kind of going all around the East Coast and everything. I've been following you. So tell the audience, where have you been? And now everywhere you went before you landed in Florida for your final push?
Sure. So this year alone, I went to Orange County, California for a Back the Blue rally. I went to Philly in Pennsylvania also for a Back the Blue rally. I went to Ohio to speak at the University of Akron. And I've also been to New Jersey. And New Jersey's 5th district, which is a swing district, we can flip from Democrat to Republican. And now I'm ending in Florida, in Florida 07, which is also a swing district that we can flip from Democrat to Republican. So everything that I've been doing has been very strategic to try to get people out, get them motivated, encourage them, knocking on doors and making phone calls in swing areas to truly affect this November's outcome.
Well, how many letters have you sent out? Because you put out a bunch of actual goals that you set out for letters that you would send out. How many letters have you sent out?
Absolutely. So myself, I hand wrote 2,000 thank you letters to Trump voters. And I remember interviewing with you last year, and I was talking to you about this, and I want to make it very clear that like our president, I made a promise and I kept that promise. Hashtag promises made, promises kept. Now, it wasn't just that goal that I set. I also created a project called hashtag letters to voters. And thanks to all the people that follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we had hundreds of volunteers sign up to write letters. So we wrote letters into swing states like West Virginia, Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, strategically to either soft Republicans or independents or soft Democrats in an effort to push them to the polls for our Republican candidates. Now, last goal that I set for myself, which unfortunately I did not hit, I set a goal of 1,000 phone call volunteers. And unfortunately, we have only gotten 861 phone call volunteers. And again, we've sent these people strategically to Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, North Dakota, Florida, everywhere where we have a chance of flipping a Democrat seat Republican strategically to affect change. We have been there doing the grassroots organization that the Democrats and other people don't think we have, but we do.
Well, here's the great thing about what you're doing too. And I want to make a comparison to make a point here. You are genuinely grassroots. You don't have some big organization. You don't have a bunch of funding pouring in. You don't have a big email chain. You don't really, I mean, quite frankly, I'm not meaning to sound offensive. You really don't even have much organization. It's just you saying, I'm going to go out and do everything I can and empower as many people to help me in this process. But look at all the success you've had. The reason why I'm saying this is because there was a group that I confronted here in Austin. It's called Indivisible Austin. Now, Indivisible is a nationwide group, but they have all the funding. They have the big, massive email chains. They get the push from the mainstream media, right? And so I go out to their canvassing event in Austin, Texas, and I'm talking to the guy. If you guys want to find it, I think it's on the War Room's Facebook page. It's okay. I'm giving the crew literally thousands of orders right before the show, so they're doing their best job. But I talk to the guy, and I just come up to them, and they're canvassing for Beto O'Rourke, and I'm totally polite. Of course, he says I'm harassing them. That's their new thing now is, oh, you're harassing me. I'm going to call the cops. But I'm totally polite to these people. And I'm just like, are you guys aware, before you're canvassing for Beto O'Rourke, are you aware that Project Veritas has an undercover video where they talk about FEC violations funding the migrant caravan? And so immediately they start crying and complaining and they want to kick me out. And I said, George Soros admitted he was a Nazi collaborator. Yeah, there's the video right there. Great work, crew. And so basically I'm being polite to these people and I just ask, hey, you know, what do you think about that Project Veritas video? What do you think about this from George Soros? And they say, oh, you're harassing me. Get out. Now, you, on the other hand, you've had people come up and talk to you. You've had people come up and challenge you on your ideas. Do you say, hey, you're harassing me, I want to call the cops? Or do you actually engage with them?
Oh, I engage with them. You know, if there's an opportunity to actually talk policy, because there's a difference. There's a difference between when people go low and I want to actually talk about policy and what Trump has done and, you know, talk about things like the economy, immigration, et cetera. But like if you go to my Twitter, there was this video that literally accosted a black Trump supporter and me while we were sitting at Starbucks.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in the next segment. But my point is that when we challenge the left on their ideas, they say, leave me alone. But if someone comes and challenges you on a political idea or me, I'm ready to go. I'm rearing.
Totally. And I've got an arsenal of information and intellect ready to back up everything that's out there. I know my facts, and that's what
makes me
dangerous.
The force is strong in this one.
That's right, because I can say, like, for example, when we're talking about, you know, chain migration or the diversity visa lottery, I know the names Akeyed Ollah, who detonated a bomb in New York City. And I know Saifullo Saipov, the guy that ran over 8 people, injuring dozens of others in New York City. So we on the conservative spectrum know our facts and are able to articulate it in a way to actually talk to the other side.
Now, I feel like we're actually a rare few, and I'm not trying to pat us on the back. It's just the truth. There's not many people that actually live this life. There's not many people that actually go out publicly with their Trump gear on. There's not many people that actually go out, engage in political discourse, hold up a sign, and that's fine. It's uncomfortable. You know, that's not for everybody. But my point is that I do this, you do this, we actually go out and get our hands dirty. To you right now, in the last 60 seconds before we come back in the next segment with you, where do you think, based on what you've seen traveling the nation and actually engaging in the 3D realm of political discourse, where do you see Congress going?
It's going to be close. I'm telling you right now, we're going to lose seats. It's clear. We had redistricting in Pennsylvania. I know they're going after California hard, but we haven't had unprecedented turnout, especially in Orange County. I know they're coming after Florida. They're going after Miami. They're going after that district. So we are going to lose seats. I know that we are also going to pick up seats in the Senate. It all comes down to turnout. We have to be energized, engaged, motivated, enthusiastic. We have to vote. Vote on Tuesday, November 6, 2018.
Well, and let's talk more about that on the other side, because I made this prediction last week. I'm standing by it. You're going to have over 100 million people vote in these midterms. You're going to have record number of voter turnout in these midterms. I don't hear anybody else predicting that, but that's my prediction. They're already telling you the early voting is record as well. All right, Scott Pressler, one more segment on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Infowars.com/show.
Tomorrow is the big one. Hammering, hammering, hammering. Till we get to tomorrow. I do agree with Scott that it's going to be close. However, I predict Republicans will maintain Congress pretty steadily. I do expect them to maintain the House, and I would say 52, maybe 53 Senate seats. But let me ask Scott one more question as we get to the video of him getting it's just unbelievable how rude these people are when you wear a Trump hat. But, Scott, when you go out wearing a Trump hat, what kind of response do you get? Because for me, I broke this down earlier. Let's do a general poll of 10 people that I encounter wearing a Trump hat. Five people like it. That means they're either going to say they like it, but most of them are just kind of going to give you like a little nod or a thumbs up or a wink or like, hey, you know, an A-OK sign, like, you know, whoa, like First Rule of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club, but, you know, hey, oh, nice hat, I'm with you. But, you know, I don't want anybody else to know or I'm in Fight Club. And then 4 out of 10 just genuinely don't care, no response, may not even know what the hat means. And then 1 out of 10 actually gets hateful, vitriolic, and perhaps even violent with you. That's my analysis. But what is your analysis? Because you've done the same thing nationwide. What's it been like when you go out wearing a Trump hat?
Yeah, well, as you know, I set up different places either with my laptop or my shirt or my hat. I always got something on, Republican. And the majority of people, I agree with Owen, they'll kind of, you know, they'll do like a little side thumbs up or they'll kind of wink at you or nod at you. They won't be overt in letting you know that they are actually a conservative Republican.
But isn't it like exhilarating? It's like being in a secret club. Like everyone's walking by you and they're like, hey, man, like, hey, nice hat. Like, yeah.
It really is. It is like a secret society. And people, but I tell them, be loud, be proud, be vocal and visible. And the more people that actually stand up and vocally show their support for our president, it will start a domino effect and a tidal wave and more people. As I've actually seen, we've seen an unprecedented amount of volunteers and grassroots activity during this midterm election. And it's because people are standing up and fighting. And look at SB 54 in California. I really want to give a shout out to what they've accomplished in California, because they're standing up at mayoral meetings, at city council meetings, speaking up and verbally and visibly showing their disappointment with the sanctuary state of California. That has inspired and motivated people all across the country, including here on the East Coast.
You know, I'm so glad you bring that up, because he's so right. Actually, if you go watch like city council videos in California, it is actually some of the most entertaining stuff. Most of it we can't even air because you have to censor it. But I'm telling you, black people, Hispanic people, they get up in front of these city councils and they let their leadership have it. I mean, they're F-bombing them. You screwed my city. You screwed my future. And it's just like, oh, my gosh. Now, very few of these get any coverage. There were a couple that went viral, but it's so true. But I want to roll a video. Guys, let's have the video ready where you're in, what is it, a coffee shop? Where are you with your friend when this rude individual comes up to you?
I was in Northern Virginia in Starbucks.
Okay, so this is a video from Northern Virginia. Scott and his friend are having lunch or just sitting in a restaurant, and watch what happens when one woman comes up and confronts them.
Wait, so are you not happy to see a gay man and a black Trump supporter together happily at Starbucks?
No, I think that's wonderful. Supporting Trump?
Yeah.
I think you must be.
Well, wait, so are you being homophobic and anti-black right now?
Absolutely not. I'm being anti-Trump, and I'm proud to say that.
Oh, so you're anti-minority.
No, not anti-minority at all.
Oh, okay. This white woman coming up here. Yes, I am. This is racism and anti-homophobic.
Oh, you are so full of it, sir. I'm sorry for you.
This is going viral, baby. 250,000 followers on Twitter.
You are good. You know something? That's violating my civil rights.
This is public. You are out in public property. 250,000 followers.
That's exactly.
Quarter of a million followers. Enjoy. Enjoy.
That is how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. So again, the scene is, Scott is sitting at the restaurant. We'll provide context because this is what the left loves to do with identity politics. Scott is gay, sitting at Starbucks with his black friend in a Trump hat, and this white woman comes up and starts telling you how bad you are for supporting Trump, and then you're just giving them a little bit of their own medicine saying, oh my gosh, are you homophobic? Oh my gosh, are you racist? Then she kind of panics, and then you're like, by the way, this video is going to get 250,000 views, and then she walks away. But I love how she's like, oh, you're violating my rights. When she comes up to you.
Oh, no. Well, I'd love to give you the backstory. This is an exclusive scoop. So before I started filming, let me tell you what she said to me prior to that. And also a police officer was there at Starbucks and saw the whole thing. So hold up for just a second. So she walks in. He's wearing a Make America Great Again hat. I'm wearing a Trump 2020 shirt. I got my Trump computer. And she walks up and she says, are you really Trump supporters? And I say, yes, ma'am. And she goes, why would you ever do that? You know, I started rattling off 3.4% GDP, or excuse me, 4.2, a booming economy, yada, yada. And she goes, and she turns to the black gentleman and goes, and you are for Trump? And just the way she said it was so racist. because she turned to him, looking at the color of his skin, thinking to herself, her white Democrat self, how could possibly a black supporter, a black person be supportive of our president, which was purely and simply racism. Then she turned to me because I have Trump cut taxes on my car and I drive a Mazda. It's a beat up car. It's a 2012 car. And she goes, you drive that blanking, you know, car, basically trying to say that I'm poor. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm a middle class working American citizen and Trump cut my taxes. Anyway, here's the best part. After she said I was violating her rights and she stormed out, she came back in and then started to attack us again. I wasn't filming. And then she stormed out crying because I told her that I was, you know, putting this out on social media, which, by the way, I was nice and not filming her. Anyway, the cop went out and followed her, talked to her for like 5 minutes. Cop came back in and asked us if we were okay. So clearly everybody in that coffee shop got to see that she was the one that truly had Trump derangement syndrome, not the two peaceful Trump supporters that were sitting there happily doing nothing wrong.
So there's even a hint of liberal elitism when she sees that you're not driving some fancy car?
Absolutely. She judged me thinking that no one could possibly be a black or Trump supporter. This liberal elitist Hollywood California mentality is truly indicative of what the Democrat Party has become.
Well, and again, as you said, I mean, you were kind enough to the woman. You didn't even put her face on camera. So, I mean, it's like you were actually taking measures to protect her. It's really incredible. And it reminds me of the story. Give me a second here. Here it is. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Scott. Woman, this is from Raw Story. So Raw Story, one of the lowest media outlets on the internet, is actually celebrating this. Look at this twist. From Raw Story, woman pretends to be persecuted Trump supporter and scams conservatives out of $150,000. So let me just, have you heard this, Scott? This is amazing, though. So a young black woman, I don't know how old she is. She looks like she's maybe in her 20s, maybe about my age. She posts a picture of herself on Twitter with a Make America Great Again hat on saying she's going public. You know, she's sick of being persecuted. She's a reform Republican. She loves Trump, all this stuff. Bunch of people reach out to her. She tells them about her struggles. And basically, she milks these conservatives for $150,000. And so Raw Story publishes this story like bragging about it. Like, oh, look, this woman scams conservatives out of money. I see the story and I'm like, well, wait a second. This story actually encapsulates everything you need to know right now. Here's a black woman who says she's struggling. And what happens? A bunch of racist conservatives give her money. I mean, it totally defeats their narrative that Republicans are racist. And then it adds to the narrative that the Democrats are a bunch of deceptive scum. And they publish this story celebrating it.
Well, and you know, not only that, Owen, and I don't know if you saw this as well, but our Justice Brett Kavanaugh, I believe he got $600,000, correct me if I'm wrong, through a GoFundMe. And instead of taking that money for himself, he donated it to a Catholic charity. And truly, having these two stories side by side, I think show that conservatives really, truly are loving, giving, warm people.
Yeah, not to mention the fact this is a Supreme Court justice who is not even engaged in any sort of behavior right now, going after the three women that have now admitted they lied about him and sexual assault. So what does that tell you about the character as well as Brett Kavanaugh? All right, Scott, thank you so much. Get back to the great work you're doing in Florida. I know that Gillum DeSantis is tight. I hope that you can help push DeSantis over the edge for a victory. There goes Scott Pressler, folks. Follow him on Twitter, @ScottPressler. Seriously. If you want to look at political activism in the 3D realm, this guy is championing the cause. All right, folks, InfoWarsStore.com, huge specials. I barely have a plug. Make up for me not plugging. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
By the end of the day, President Trump will have 100,000 people that showed up for his rallies. About 20,000 in Cleveland, about 20,000 in Fort Wayne, probably more. And then you're going to have probably 50,000 tonight in Cape Girardeau. It's going to be epic. Now, what do you say? I mean, for real, what do you say about a campaign that has been totally outed? Actually, in fact, I didn't even know this. Beto O'Rourke's campaign already got hit with campaign finance violations. This is before the Project Veritas tape. It's all on record. But here is a compilation. Project Veritas, I mean, just look at all the Democrats these people have outed. Gillum, Heidkamp, McCaskill, O'Rourke. There's others. I can't even think of them all. But here's the compilation of what Project Veritas exposed from the fake Beto campaign.
Now to the Texas Senate race. Congressman Beto O'Rourke blamed Republicans for an undercover video.
The conservative group Project Veritas.
Our email and Facebook page have been blowing up with lots of you demanding we check out this video.
Oh, yeah, well, we've gotten emails from so many people. Kevin, Gary, Lou, Brandon, you name it. A lot of people asking us to look into this very video.
The Daily Wire and Political Insider, just a few of the news agencies reporting on a Project Veritas undercover video.
O'Rourke's opponent, Senator Ted Cruz, was quick to pounce on that video.
I'm not a huge fan of Project Veritas. In this particular instance, I think he's done a great job. And now they went undercover.
Oh, pause it right there.
O'Rourke.
This goofball, this is the same thing Project Veritas has always done. There's no difference between this and what they've always done. This one is just the most powerful. But I love this goofball up there. Oh, look at all. Pat Green. Who's this guy with? MSNBC? The Blaze. I'm Pat Green from The Blaze. I don't normally like Project Veritas work because Glenn Beck told me not to. But this one, I think I like. All right.
And here's what happened.
Beto O'Rourke's campaign said today their staff recently took it upon themselves to use campaign funds to donate to an El Paso nonprofit.
The issue is a small group of Congressman Beto O'Rourke's campaign staffers bought food, water, and supplies for recent immigrants in El Paso illegally.
You can use the vans, too. So we could probably use that. Can we use the vans?
Yeah. So the people who took it say it shows O'Rourke staffers using campaign money to help illegal immigrants. So who is making this new claim?
We took a more close look, and what we found was the campaign manager herself, Jody Casey, acknowledging this was happening.
Know that we're using some of the campaign resources to help with the migrants.
This is the voice of the undercover Project Veritas employee talking to a work campaign manager.
Pretty clear.
Wow. Problem. I'm not going to finish my cereal. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
She's already tweeted out this morning, go vote for Beto.
Hello.
How is she still able to do that?
On Friday, Cruz focused on a video released by James O'Keefe.
A video broke this morning of his campaign staffers
taking campaign money and apparently using it to give it to people coming here illegally.
O'Rourke also responded.
I think this is more of Cruz and Trump and their partners trying to stoke fear.
To the best of my knowledge, and we're looking at this, some money was spent on baby wipes and diapers and water.
You want to help folks who are already across
lies.
The border in the United
Total
States
lies.
And they are here pending an asylum claim? That's legal. There are folks
all
who
right,
do
right,
it.
Pull it down. But pull it down real quick. Let's fire clip 23. This is an undocumented migrant recruiting for the Democrats.
Hi, everyone. My name is Grace Martinez with United We Dream Action. I'm here in Las Cruces, New Mexico, getting out the vote in the state of New Mexico. You know that for one undocumented young person like myself, there's 17 U.S. citizens that can go out to vote today. So here's my challenge to you. If you're a U.S. citizen, if you know that the Trump's anti-immigrant laws are wrong, and if you stand with undocumented immigrant youth, go out and vote this November 6th. You have the power. I have the power to be able to change our democracy, to be able to welcome
your democracy,
and to make sure that we win. Bye.
No, this is our republic. Folks, do you realize that the Democrats are now openly admitting they engage in election fraud? Do you realize they're openly bragging about voting illegally? They're openly bragging about FEC violations? Begin to see what the future of American politics will hold. Welcome back to the War Room. Now, I'm about to take off in a few short segments to go to the sign hold that I am hosting, an InfoWars Army event on the Riverside Bridge over Highway 35. I'm bringing signs. I know there's going to be people there joining me as well. So I'm going to leave here. Roger Stone, Jacob Ingalls, Harrison Smith will be taking over broadcast duties, and then I'll be live streaming from the Facebook of the War Room page as well. And I've got some other news I want to cover, but I haven't even plugged, folks. So I need to mention some big specials that we have going on right now. We have a new blowout sale that's going on right now on some of the old fan favorite projects. For example, Silver Bullet is now 67% off with free shipping. Now, folks, winter's right around the corner. You know what that means. You might be dealing with some illness. You might be dealing with a cold. You might be dealing with a sore throat or, who knows, some sort of viral infection. Silver Bullet is key to help fight this and build your immune system. I'm speaking from experience. In fact, I don't even think I would be here today if it wasn't for Silver Bullet. 67% off right now on Silver Bullet at InfoWarsStore.com. You've got Super Male and Super Female Vitality at 57% off with, oh, that's with free shipping. So Silver Bullet, that's free shipping too. Survival Shield X2 is still 50% off with free shipping. Brain Force Plus is 50% off with free shipping. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filtration System is 50% off with free shipping. That's huge. Oh, you've got free shipping store-wide. Okay, wow. So a great time to look at some of the big-ticket items, emergency food supplies, water filters, air filters. Those are heavier, expensive to ship. Free shipping store-wide right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Oh, how could I forget? We have the exclusive coupon code offer for you. Here is the brand-new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie. This is the zip-up version I am displaying right now for viewers. So that's one version of the InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie, the zip up. And then there's this version, which is the actual pullover. So these are brand new to InfoWarsStore.com. I love them. Very comfortable. And with coupon code WARROOM, you can get your brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie for $10 off. That's right. The brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie, $10 off at InfoWarsStore.com. That's the zip up or the pullover. Coupon code WARROOM at checkout is good for $10 off the brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie. So please, folks, remember to support us at InfoWarsStore.com, and we will continue to grow in the face of the fake news that attacks us and tries to destroy us. All right. Let me get to some of this news before I break away to go to the sign event, as President Trump has miles and miles of people lining up to see him in Indiana. And then the same will happen in Cape Girardeau. There are probably already miles of people lined up in Cape Girardeau. But let's get to some of this news. This is from the Washington Post. Britain's Populist Party has an InfoWars editor for a spokesman. Jewish leaders are worried. It's so amazing how ridiculous these people are that write these types of stories. So Paul Joseph Watson was a spokesperson for Britain's most popular party. Oh my gosh, yeah, Paul Joseph Watson, one of the most popular commentators on politics in the UK, in Britain. Yeah, we wouldn't want him to come endorse our party. We wouldn't want him to speak for us. No, of course he would. But the Washington Post says, this is not good. It's not good that Paul Joseph Watson gets to speak at this event. No, 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 no. He just got 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube. And then it says that we claim that the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting was a false flag operation. Again, no links, no video clips, no sound bites, just a claim they make. Totally untrue. And then they say George Soros is a Nazi collaborator. And again, no clips, no proof. They just claim we said that. But of course, you could actually link to the 60 Minutes interview where George Soros says that himself. And I think it was a 1995 interview. with 60 Minutes. So, but then they say Jewish leaders are scared about the anti-Semitic slurs from InfoWars. So ridiculous. You have a whole swath of people that say we're Israeli shills. QAnon claims we're Mossad. And then the Washington Post says we're anti-Semites. And then so it's like half the people say we're anti-Semites, and then another half say we work for Israel. Do you realize how insane all of you are? Meanwhile, Louis Farrakhan leads chants of death to America in Iran and refers to America as the great Satan. Well, you know, there's definitely some great evil that has come out of the West, and there's definitely great evil that has come out of America. We call it out. It's foreign wars that are started over fake news. It's the abortion of millions and millions of children. So, you know, there's some bad things that we don't like that comes out of the West. But we call it out, and we understand that's not America. That's not the American values. That's a false equivalency. But Louis Farrakhan gets to chant death to America. He gets to make all kinds of anti-Semitic remarks, but he's never been censored from any social media. And all the Democrats that meet with Louis Farrakhan never have to disavow. Amazing. Amazing. So, okay, Louis Farrakhan says death to America. You know, I mean, I just don't get it. Then go live in Iran, Louis. Go live in Iran. Now, here's one they're not going to want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. And this is big. This comes from The Hill, and it's now making its way around the mainstream news. They don't want to report this, folks. China's President Xi vows to lower tariffs, increase imports among tensions with the U.S. You know what this is, folks? President Trump is now winning the trade war. And they say, oh, President Trump started a trade war with China. He's bad. No, China started the trade war when they started manipulating their currency, when they have no regulations at all on industry, when they have no minimum wage, and when all they do is export because of all those advantages. And then if you work with the Chinese government, you're tax-free. So that's China starting the trade war and then willing Americans siding with China to save themselves some money and get rich. Trump says, we're not going to do that anymore. And so he imposes tariffs. They say he's starting a trade war. Uh-oh, what happened? China is now buckling. This is a huge story, ladies and gentlemen, that they're not going to tell you, and it's going to be totally overwhelmed by the midterm elections. But this is massive news. President Trump's tariffs on China won a huge victory. And all those people that said he's going to start a trade war, it's bad, China's going to destroy us. No, no. See, what attracts people to China is the market of billions of people, the economy of billions of people, and the cheap labor and the zero regulations. But see, once you start leveling out the playing ground with tariffs and fair trade deals, all of a sudden, it's less sexy to move yourself to China. Trump got it. Trump implemented the tariffs, and now China's saying, okay, fine. We're going to lower our tariffs on the goods we export, and we'll start to import some goods from America, and we'll try to make this a fair deal because we want to keep doing trade with America because you guys have most of the manufacturing. You shipped it to us, but it's mostly American-based. And so, you guys want to stay in our economy, and we want to keep your goods over here. So we'll lower tariffs, and we'll start importing. Guarantee you, I mean, maybe Lou Dobbs. Probably no one else will even mention this tonight. And this is a huge victory for President Trump. President Xi of China saying they will lower tariffs and increase imports thanks to President Trump's quote-unquote trade war. No, China started the trade war. Trump's fighting back.
War Room. Infowars.com/show. We'll be right back.
me tell you something. These people on television news, they've got like all their big maps and all their like interactive screens and their pie charts and their graphs and their percentages and their numbers and their data and their polling. And, oh, it's literally all fake. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I'm just watching some of this in the break. These people breaking it all down before the midterms. 20% here, people with this media income here, people that say this over here, the polling numbers over here, polling data indicates. Oh. What polling data? I'm serious. Do you know anyone that has ever been polled ever? I don't. I've never been polled. Nobody's ever called me and said, "Hi, Mr. Schroyer. We're just a polling data company here, and we just want to know what do you think about issue X and Y and Trump?" Never has that happened to me. Has that ever happened to anyone in the crew today? Raise your hand if you've ever been called for a poll. No one. I've never met anyone that's ever been called for a poll. Never. So where are they getting this data? Where are these people that they're polling? What, do they live underground? I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. I'm telling you, it's like it's from like my old days in sports media where I'd watch the pregame coverage and they just break down every angle and this and the percentages and this situation and hypothetically this. And I remember even when I was like, this is just nauseating. You don't know what's going to happen when the teams get on the field. Now, you might be able to accurately predict with what you've seen in the past, but like every angle, like you think you know what's going to happen every angle and you can use every percentage and predict. These people are nuts. And the more I see them obsessing over these numbers and making these predictions for Democrats, the more I realize it's so fake. They have no idea. They're totally clueless. I'm telling you, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? I mean, barring major election interference via electronic voting machines being hacked, which is a very high probability, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Kirsten Nelson has come out and said that they have these on lockdown. This is going to be the safest electronic election ever from DHS's standpoint. I don't know. Only time will tell. But maybe that's what the crowd wants. You want me to get all the polls? Break down all the polls? I've got polls. Fake polls. By the way, remember that powerful ad that President Trump's team put together of the illegal immigrant bragging about killing a cop, saying he wants to kill more and he'll get out of jail and will kill more? NBC banned that. CNN banned it. But guess who else now banned it? Fox. And guess who wrote the story for CNN? Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter. Do you know why Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter break the news every time something gets censored in mainstream media? Literally every time it's Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter for CNN. Do you know why that is? They're the ones behind it. I feel bad for Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter. These are two of the biggest losers in America. Seriously, imagine dedicating your life to shutting down someone else's free speech. That is Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter. They're ripping their hair out right now that I'm still allowed to exist on social media. Do you realize that? Oh, I'm sorry, they don't have any hair. Regardless. Well, maybe the short and curlies. Every time every time there's any censorship news, Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy have the breaking story because they're the ones that do it. Those are the two losers that actually engage in getting people censored. Can you imagine being such a lowlife? But the thing is, we can't. I genuinely can't. I genuinely cannot even imagine having the psychology of a Brian Stelter or an Oliver Darcy. It really is the rodent that just got caught eating its own crap. It really is the possum that just got caught digging through its own feces. That's Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy. All right, I'm going to try to get through the rest of this news, but Wow, those are some losers, ladies and gentlemen. Hundreds of Jews contacting Gun Training Academy after Pittsburgh attack. You know, it's amazing how the left always tries to act like these attacks add to their gun legislation policy. It only hurts it. I got news for you. People that actually have to deal with a gunman or a violent, vicious attack, they don't want someone to take their right to a firearm. They want the exact opposite. They want a gun. Again, these people are so out of touch with reality. Oh, I love this one. Creepy Facebook feature could suggest friends by tracking who you stand near to. Folks, they've already been doing this. Not only does Facebook track your location and then suggest friends based on who you stand next to, the next story will be creepy Facebook feature could suggest friends by listening to who you're talking about. You see, they're already doing this. They're already tracking your location and other people's locations and then suggesting friends. They're already listening to who you talk about. People already have done this study. You know, I need to get a brand new cover for my tire on the back of my car. I'm thinking about getting a Washington Redskins cover. Get on to Facebook. Washington Redskins tire cover. What? How'd that get there? You're sitting there talking. I'm talking to Roger Stone. I'm like, hey, you know, I was thinking about having dinner with Harrison Smith later tonight. What do you think? Should we have dinner with Harrison Smith? He's like, yeah, let's go have some dinner with Harrison Smith. Logging to Facebook. Friend suggestion. Harrison Smith. They're already listening to you. They're already tracking you. It's already going on. Now they're just admitting it. Week 9, thousands of empty seats remain as NFL starts second half of the season. You know, I actually have a new theory to this. I think while part of the reason NFL attendance is down is definitely the overall numbers being down and their propaganda driving that. But I actually have a theory. The reason why actual attendance is so bad right now, I mean, it's stunningly bad, folks. The Washington Redskins were 5-2 heading into this week, first place in their division. This is a Washington Redskins, huge football franchise. The stadium was empty. Nobody even went. There were more Atlanta Falcons fans at the game. I think it's because these games are so expensive. I don't think there's enough people calling that out. You can't go to a NFL football game with your family without spending probably $500. So, you know, I think that the expense of these things, I mean, a beer is $15, a hot dog is $10, nachos is $10, the seats are probably $100. I mean, you're looking at $500 to $1,000 just to go to a football game with your family. People just, you know, you can watch it at home for free. So there you go. All right, I'm about to take off. Harrison Smith and Roger Stone are taking over. I'm going to the Riverside Bridge over Highway 35. I've got massive signs that we're going to hold the night before the midterm elections, reminding people why they need to vote Republican and vote the Democrats out. If you want to have a big economy, if you want the wages to go up, if you want the taxes to go down, you have to vote the Democrats out.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Roger Stone.
Sometimes I'm right and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
My name is Harrison Smith. We are joined by my co-host Roger Stone here, and I'm co-hosting here for a second, but I'm sort of flipping the tables on us, and I'm going to be grilling Mr. Stone as to the recent news. You know, it's like Alex Jones is, as we always say, it's like the most targeted person in the left in terms of who the left is going after. But still, every day, every single day, I see multiple headlines with your name in the title, and there's always some sort of Damocles just about to break and come, you know, put you away for good. They're ready for you to just be out of the limelight,
I now know how the Christians felt when they were being led into the Colosseum before they let the lions out. I am probably the most hated man on the American left for the simple reason that I have been effective in defeating them. 50 years ago tomorrow, Richard Nixon was elected president in the greatest comeback in American history, my first national presidential campaign. To be absolutely clear, I violated no laws. I had no advance notice of the source or the content of the WikiLeaks disclosures. I took a tip from a New York radio host, Randy Credico, who had connections in the WikiLeaks organization, as it turns out, who told me that when Julian Assange went on CNN in June and again in August and said that he had this material on Hillary Clinton, that what he had was devastating, that it would end Hillary's campaign and that it would be released in October.
Right.
All of that, of course, turned out to be true. Now, Credico today says that he couldn't have been my source regarding Assange because he didn't meet him and interview him until late August. That's irrelevant because Assange was not Credico's source. His source was a woman lawyer who represented WikiLeaks, who had a 30-year relationship with Randy because they both were involved with the same charitable foundation. So he has been dissembling. That has been his defense since I was essentially forced to disclose his name to the House Intelligence Committee. Let me stress that he didn't do anything illegal either.
Right.
He never knew the source or the content of this material. All he repeated was a tip, something he had probably overheard. And of course, it turned out to be right.
Right. And so he's sort of doing this this magic trick where he's saying, no, it couldn't have been me because I didn't even meet with Julian Assange. And then the underlying thing is, well, you didn't get the information from Assange. So right. The fact you didn't meet with him is not pertinent.
And it took me a while to figure that out, to be honest with you. I had to think about it. But he never said Julian said or Assange claims. All he ever said was WikiLeaks has. This stuff WikiLeaks has is unbelievable. Now, on October 2nd, the world was watching when Assange scheduled a media event, including Alex Jones. And it was widely expected that he would release material there that would be damaging to Hillary. And when he did not, he was attacked by many on the right. But what few people noticed, but was publicly reported by Politico and others, was that Assange announced a release schedule of a catch of documents once a week for, I think it was 10 weeks, beyond the election, but said that all of the U.S. election-related material would be released by Election Day.
Right.
That is what I said to Steve Bannon in an email. It was public information. Bannon could have read it online had he looked.
Right.
He contacted me. I didn't contact him. So the idea that I was trying to suck up to the Trump campaign, why were you calling Steve Bannon? Simple, to try to tell him how to elect a president. He had no idea.
Right.
I'm a veteran of 10 presidential campaigns. Steve Bannon's never elected anybody to anything that I know of. And Donald Trump elected Donald Trump president, not Steve Bannon.
Right. And the American people elected Donald Trump, not anybody else. But I actually want to talk about this because even just from a, you know, personal standpoint, you know, like you said, you've been in the game for decades. I've worked at InfoWars for about a year and a half at this point. I've been politically involved before that. But how do you go as the most hated from Richard Nixon to Donald Trump? I mean, you have been the target of the left for 5 decades. I mean, how do you maintain your composure in the face of this, as well as how do you just avoid succumbing to their constant, you know, attacks and attempts to bring you down?
Well, first of all, I revel in their hatred because if I were not effective, they would not hate me.
Right.
And in all honesty, the pressure on my family is enormous. The pressure on my children, the pressure on my wife, the pressure on my grandchildren, it's really extreme. They seek to destroy me personally and financially. That's why I ask people to go to stonedefensefund.com, which I have had to form in order to pay these enormous legal expenses. I'm being sued by the Democratic National Committee, a sore loser lawsuit. I'm being investigated by the House Intelligence Committee. I'm being investigated by the Senate Intelligence Committee. I'm being investigated by the Senate Judiciary Committee. I am clearly being investigated by Mr. Mueller, who by law is not supposed to be leaking, but every day there's a new leak, most of it incorrect. I can only come on InfoWars, which they're trying to censor, or StoneColdTruth.com to answer all of these four false charges, which I try to do pretty aggressively. I think generally in life and in politics, when you're accused of wrongdoing and you go silent, people assume you're guilty. Yeah. And therefore, when you're accused of wrongdoing, you have to come forward and lay out the truth, which I try to do online and in videos. Of course, I'm banned for life on Twitter.
Right. That was an early, you were an early ban.
I was a pioneer. I am severely restricted on Facebook. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that I have 140,000 followers, but my posts got 3 reposts and one like. So the shadow banning is really profound.
Yeah.
It's a heavy burden, in all honesty. I have 2 more books coming, Woodward and Bernstein, The Godfathers of Fake News, which I'm co-writing with Tyler Nixon, my attorney and a friend.
Great guy, yeah.
I also have a book, Spartacus, The Real Cory Booker Story, that is right behind it. So I have things to do. Clearly, Mr. Mueller and his investigators cannot find something that does not exist.
Yeah.
I never received anything, including allegedly stolen emails from WikiLeaks or Julian Assange or the Russians or Guccifer 2.0 or Jerry Corsi or Santa Claus.
Right.
It just doesn't exist. So will they try to manufacture some other bogus crime? It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
As for me, I intend to fight.
Well, it's a testament to the fact that you are still fighting. You know, a testament to your political acumen, obviously. But specifically, you know, we talked about this a little bit because obviously Richard Nixon is your guy and you got the tattoo on the back. And I didn't know much about him until meeting you. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go do some research. And I started reading a book about Nixon, a biography of him. And it was so amazing to me how just the parallels where 50, 60 years ago, the complaints about the media being biased, fact that, was it Alger Hess? Right, that he uncovers as a communist agent within the government, and yet the media attacks Nixon for exposing that rather than the... So it's like, oh my God, you know, you realize when you go back in history, it's been going on, it's the exact same for half a century.
It's very, very similar. We'll cover it on the other side. Great to be with you here on The War Room.
Great to be here. We'll be back right after these short messages. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to support the show. We appreciate it when you do.
War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Harrison Smith. This is The War Room. I am joined by my co-host, Roger Stone. I'm actually co-hosting for him right now. I'll be with you until 5 o'clock, which time Roger will take over solo for the next hour. Then I'll be back at 6 o'clock, and I'll be joined by YouTuber Styx Hexenhammer, and we're going to break down some of the latest polls. Then I'm here for at least another hour. Then Mike Adams joins me in the studio. Then Alex Jones will come back with Roger Stone. It's just going to be a revolving door of voices and faces all getting in this last minute push to try to get people out to vote and make that blue wave disappear forever. But before we left, we were talking about just the fact that these leftist tactics and these tricks have been the same tricks they've used for 50, 60 years. And yet only just now are they starting to lose effectiveness as we have the internet, as we have InfoWars, as we have Stone Cold Truth, and people are able to get that, different narrative out and try to fight against their ability to totally control the media sphere. And of course, as somebody who's been in the business for decades, you have seen this firsthand possibly better than anybody.
Yeah, look, Donald Trump's election would never have been possible without the rise of a vibrant, robust alternative media based in the internet. And the deep state and the left understands that. That's why they're now trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. This is why they're trying to censor InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
It's why they're shutting down conservatives and libertarians and pro-Trump subscribers on Facebook. It's why they're censoring Reddit while Google and Apple are trying to shut free expression down if it's conservative-based, because they want to reassert mainstream media control of the political narrative. If the elections don't go well tomorrow, and I'm a bit of a pessimist, not because we don't have right on our side, not because we haven't worked very hard, not because the president hasn't been very effective on the stump, which I think he has, but because I doubt we're going to get an honest count, number one. That's one question. But beyond that, what is the cost of this internet censorship? Well, they have grabbed the control of the narrative, which they lost control of 2016, through the internet-based censorship. And that's why I think the election is being negatively affected.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think you're exactly right. And it's something that I've said myself as well, is I think if we had a fair election and the votes were counted and it was only people who were citizens who voted and they only voted once and they're alive at the time the vote was cast, I think it would be just a total blowout. And so it becomes this matter of like, are the good guys out hacking the bad guys? We have a story here. Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp accuses Georgia Democrats of hacking. And so, I mean, already there's accusations of people hacking into the voting system to try to change votes.
Look, I think the voter theft tomorrow and the voter theft that has already occurred in early voting and absentee ballot voting is at an all-time high. I spoke to a New York Police Department detective today, or officer today, who's a friend and a great friend of InfoWars, a great fan, user of all of our products, which we're going to come back and talk about in a second. And he told me he works specifically on rounding up illegals, working closely with ICE to deport them. He said he has never seen this level of illegal voting in New York.
I'm sure.
It's beyond all previous levels. And even in my home state of Florida, where I think we're in trouble because the hurricane wiped out the most conservative part of the state,
right. The
panhandle, which normally goes almost 78% Republican, just wiped out, gone. And that's not going to be replaced. So I already think we're in trouble. But the flood of phony voters, people who are not eligible, people who are not U.S. citizens in this election, no IDs are checked. When you register online and then you just show up. Who even knows if it's you? So it's the widespread fraud that concerns me. Let me talk about the InfoWars site for a moment, because if you like what Harrison and I are doing here on InfoWars, none of this would be possible without your loyal support. We are completely listener and viewer supported. We have no giant multinational corporate sponsors underwriting what we do here at InfoWars. And now you've got some extraordinary specials. Silver Bullet at 67% off, plus free shipping. This is one of my favorite products. Colloidal silver has been known for centuries as an antibacterial, an antiviral, and the electronic process that is used in the creation of Silver Bullet creates a smaller microbe, which is more easily absorbed into the system. An extraordinary product. Also, a terrific special now, the Hexagon sweatshirt. This is different than the T-shirt. The Hexagon sweatshirt, which is $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. So you can support the fight for freedom. You can support the fight for a free, vibrant, and robust internet. You can support InfoWars, which is under siege even as we speak, by going to the InfoWars.com store now. Grab your Hexagon sweatshirt or your nutraceutical products, which are the best in the universe. And while you're there, get a copy of my latest book, Stone's Rules. Now, Stone's Rules is a manifesto for victory. It is the answer to the question that Harrison asked me at the top of the show. How have you been able to fight this fight for a good 40 years? Well, I love it. I relish combat. I remember that scene in the movie Patton when they ask George C. Scott, and he looks across the battlefield and he says, God, I love war. So get your copy of Stone's Rules, and here's a special offer for InfoWarriors only. If you buy your copy on InfoWars and you mail it to me with your receipt showing where you bought it, I will gladly sign it, personalize it, and mail it back to you. We'll show you that address right now where you can send your book. There you have it. I'm going to read it for you. It's P.O. Box 813450 at 4429 Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood, Florida, 330-813450. So P.O. Box 813450, Hollywood, Florida, 330-813450, and I will mail you back your book. Please support us at InfoWars at the InfoWars.com store. We need your help, and we need it today.
Really is a good book. I have it on my coffee table, and I pick it up and just flip to a random page pretty often and discover that what I'm wearing is just shameful, and I have to go change.
Well, it's, you make big strides.
Slowly but surely. But before I have to leave and you take over solo for the next hour, I have to ask, there's this interview from Big League Politics, Roger Stone on Election Eve, what will happen if Democrats win? And we're talking about this before the show, and the first line in here has you as the self-described dirty trickster. And this is something that I've used to describe you as well. I said, yeah, Roger Stone, the self-described. And you sort of rolled your eyes. And so is that...
It's really a misnomer. I have never called myself that. I've been called that by Democrats. It's going to be in my obituary, probably on my gravestone. But the truth is, I have engaged in any tactics which my contemporaries have not engaged in. Everything we do is legal. Perhaps I'm more intense about it because I like victory and I hate losing. But this notion that I have bent the rules is a falsehood. And I probably can't get away from the title now, so I just kind of accept it.
Right.
Because it helps sell books. It's kind of like when people say, oh, were you reaching out to Steve Bannon to aggrandize yourself and suck up to the Trump campaign team? No, I reached out to Steve Bannon to try to tell him how to elect a president because he had no idea. He's never elected anybody to anything in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. And I think it's great because they try to stick you with these monikers as just to denigrate you and write you off as some dirty trickster. I love just you just go, you know what? Fine. You want to call me a dirty trickster? I'll be a dirty trickster. I'll still win. I'll let you know exactly what I'm
doing.
Here's
the real point. If I am a dirty trickster, it takes one to know one. The surveillance of the Trump campaign using phony FISA warrants and the power and the authority of the state is the greatest dirty trick in politics that I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It makes Watergate look like small potatoes. And it's amazing to me that Robert Mueller, the special counsel who has a distinguished career, has no interest in the crimes of Bill and Hillary Clinton and the massive fraud of the Clinton Foundation, no interest whatsoever in the hijacking of the American Constitution and the illegal use of the spying powers of the state on Trump's campaign. This is a political vendetta, a witch hunt. And unfortunately, it appears that I am the brunt of it. But I continue to struggle every single day to get the truth out there because this is a fraudulent media narrative led by NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Vanity Fair, The Daily Beast, Huffington Post. I may vomit here in a second if I keep saying these names.
You know, I think the only way they get away with these crimes is if they win tomorrow. But that's it. I mean, I think these guys are going down. They've done too much. It's all coming down, I think. But we got to vote. We got to get out and vote. Stay with us. Roger Stone will be back. I will be back at 6 p.m.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Look, Michael Cohen has become a tool of his new handlers, and this is a partisan attack. I've known Donald Trump for 40 years. I have never heard him make a racist comment. He had many African-American friends. Yeah, I really felt that I needed to respond to that. This is Roger Stone. We're back on the War Room. And as I think some of you may have seen, Michael Cohen, who now seems to be an operative for the Democratic Party, said that when he was with Donald Trump in his short service to him as an attorney, he heard the president make racist remarks. Now, I've known Donald Trump for 40 years. He had many black friends who were athletes or entertainers, rappers, and others. Don King is one of his closest and oldest friends. I have never heard him say anything racist. If anything, rather than saying, well, black people are too stupid to vote for me, which he would never say, his expectations in terms of the African-American vote were probably a little higher than they should have been, only because of history. But the truth of the matter is, if you go back and analyze, just say, three key states, the three states that I think swung the election, those being Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and you examine the city of Detroit, the city of Milwaukee, and the city of Philadelphia, you will see that Donald Trump ran ever so slightly ahead of where Mitt Romney ran in those city, urban, mostly African-American precincts. Now, you may say that that's minor, but it was enough to swing those three states. Trump only won Michigan by 10,000 votes, for example, yet he emerges from the city of Detroit 12,000 votes ahead of where Mitt Romney had run 4 years previous. So you see the difference here. Michael Cohen is engaging in election day politics, and he's clearly very bitter that the Trump family has not subsidized his enormous legal expenses. Most of his legal problems are bent around what he himself was accused of, bank fraud, tax fraud, I believe, and then additional counts based on federal election law, which I think is a fairly weak case, in all honesty. I'm here at the War Room, your genial host, Roger Stone. I want to remind you one more time that we are under siege here at InfoWars. InfoWars is a vitally important platform in the fight for freedom. And Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter, they have all launched their censorship of us at InfoWars and their censorship of yours truly. We are in the vanguard of freedom. We are the tip of the spear. We are the leaders in the Trump revolution, and that's why they seek to censor us. So please, go to the InfoWars site right now and look at some of these terrific specials. Silver Bullet, 67% off with free shipping. Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality at 57% off, also with free shipping. Brain Force Plus, I'm high on this stuff right now, folks. It is unthinkable to do what we're going to do tonight in our election night coverage without the mental clarity and energy that Brain Force gives you, without that jacked up feeling. So please go to the InfoWars.com site now. Pick one of our terrific nutraceuticals or a t-shirt or a book, but support the fight for freedom. Alex Jones is a fighter. I am a fighter. We are not quitters, but make no mistake about it. The deep state wants to close InfoWars down. They want to put me in jail, and God knows they may assassinate Alex Jones before it's over. Don't let it happen. Give us your support at the InfoWars.com site now. We need your support as never before. The amount of money that InfoWars is spending to defend itself against these baseless lawsuits that are merely designed to create the headlines that they can use to justify to close us down is literally millions. We need your support to offset those costs and keep InfoWars moving forward. And then, of course, you can go to stonedefensefund.com to help me in my struggle against the deep state. Mrs. Stone will thank you for it, and so will my children and grandchildren. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Roger Stone, and you're at the right place. That's right, it's the War Room. Many InfoWarriors are asking me about tomorrow's election and what I see based on a 40-year career in American politics. The polls, of course, were dramatically wrong in 2016. And the polls today, according to the New York Times and ABC News and many others, point to a Democratic victory in the House. Could the polls be wrong, many ask me, as they were 4 years ago, or 2 years ago, pardon me. I think the answer, unfortunately, is no. First of all, it's important to understand that polling is an exact science, that any poll is only valid in the episecond in which it has been taken, and that polls can vary in their results based on the wording of the questions, the order of the questions, the size of the sample, whether the sample has been properly drawn, meaning whether it is a virtually accurate reflection of the real electorate in terms of black and white, men and women, Hispanic and Asian, Christian and Jewish, and so on. And therefore, in 2016, many of the polls were wrong, largely because they were based on a turnout model that was incorrect. They were based on an incorrect assumption of what the makeup of the electorate would look like. Donald Trump brought out a much larger rural vote than had ever been seen in the country. Minority voting, African-American and Hispanic, was slightly depressed. It's not surprising that fewer African-Americans turned out for Hillary Clinton than would turn out for Barack Obama, a historic figure in their party and in the country. Therefore, these allowances have been made in many cases in the turnout model that is being used in this year's election. That's why I think that the predictions of a Democratic House may be correct. I am more pessimistic than my colleague Owen Schroyer, who is bullish. We bet earlier a stake, which I would gladly buy for him if he is correct and the Republicans maintain control of the House. I would like to be wrong, and I could be wrong, but I'm deeply concerned about the impact of two things on tomorrow's election. One, of course, is illegal voting and the fact that the Trump Justice Department has done nothing whatsoever to restrict illegal voting. In my home state of Florida, for example, you can register online. You can just show up. There's no requirement for voter ID. And therefore, you can bet that literally thousands of illegals, non-citizens, will vote in what are very close elections for governor and the U.S. Senate. Also is the impact of the internet censorship that we have seen. Donald Trump's election would never have been possible without a vibrant and robust alternative media. Joining us now from Orlando, Florida, one of my favorite journalists and activists, Jacob Engels, the publisher and editor of the Central Florida Post. You can look for Jacob on Facebook, but if you look for him, you won't find him. Why? Because he was banned only last week. How convenient that he would be banned just ahead of this election. Jacob, welcome to the War Room.
Thanks for having me on, Roger.
Well, you're at Ground Zero right there in Florida. I know that you went to an Obama rally last week, that you actually confronted the former president of the United States. And as I understand it, you got kind of roughed up by these tolerant liberals at the rally. Tell us what happened.
Sure. I had been following Mr. Gillum on my Truth tour for several weeks, holding Truth to Power, and I had to go undercover at this rally to get past security and to not be detected. We made it to the front row, and as soon as Obama went on, there's actually a African-Cuban man in front of me who started yelling at him about not doing anything for the Black and Latino communities. He was shouted down. As soon as the crowd calmed, I then shouted that Obama belongs in jail, because he does. He oversaw and allowed illegal surveillance of a presidential candidate of the United States using the state for political purposes. He should be investigated, he should be found guilty, and he should be held accountable for those actions.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. That's what Peter Strzok meant in his text message when he said Obama wanted to know everything, and I guarantee you he did. That's why his chief of staff, Valerie Jarrett, wrote a CYA memo about the election, because they knew what they had done. At least in Watergate, the misguided individuals who broke into the Watergate Democratic National Committee complex were private citizens, misguided as they were, and the bugs they tried to place never actually worked. What Obama did was far worse. It was an abuse of power using the authority and the enormous capability of the state to spy on Donald Trump's campaign to hijack that election. So, Jacob, tell us about Florida. How do you see the governor's race? How do you see the very close U.S. Senate race there?
Well, the governor's race, Andrew Gillum, a socialist candidate for governor, who is very suave, very well packaged, very quote unquote cool, if you will. A lot of people have labeled him the next Obama. He's run a very aggressive campaign against Ron DeSantis, a congressman who is very pro-Trump, has been very solid on the Russia investigation, but who hasn't shown the signs of a serious campaign in the sense we don't know where his ground game is. We don't know what he's actually doing in the streets. Gillum has the media on his side. He's got the Hollywood leftists on his side. He's got the censorship police on his side. But he's also running a very well done campaign of volunteers and people on the ground. So I think it's going to be hard for Ron DeSantis. I hope not to have a socialist who identifies as a Democrat as governor of the great state of Florida. That means more taxes. That means more regulations. That means less freedom. But it's going to be tough for the Republicans to hold this governorship. For the Senate race, you have Bill Nelson, who has been there for 40 years. He went to space once, and I don't think he ever came back. The guy is brain dead. He does nothing in the Senate. Nobody knows who.
Truly an empty suit. I mean, he really is an empty suit.
Total.
With a lot of cosmetic surgery.
Yes. But on the other hand, we have Rick Scott, who some Republicans are concerned about his attack on the Second Amendment by raising the age to buy firearms in the state to 21. That is an affront to our constitutionally protected rights in the Second Amendment to bear arms and to protect ourselves. So we'll have to see how far that plays. Rick Scott has never won by much when he's won the governorship. So if he does win against Bill Nelson, I don't imagine a blowout. If Bill Nelson wins, it would not surprise me either.
All right. You're on the War Room. I'm Roger Stone. We're listening to Jacob Engels. We're going to go to break here in about a minute. But with a minute to go, Jacob, has his mishandling of the medical marijuana issue hurt Rick Scott? You've got 1 minute and 10 seconds.
Oh, tremendously. It's hurt Rick Scott. People have to realize that over 70% of Floridians, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever your political affiliation, voted for the legalization of medical marijuana for our veterans, for people who have debilitating illnesses, for children who are suffering from grand mal seizures and otherwise. And Rick Scott has time and again worked to thwart the people's will on medical marijuana and stopping smokable marijuana, which is the more affordable, cost-effective way. Not everyone can afford a vape device. These are very expensive devices. So I think that does hurt him among a lot of people across the political spectrum. We're not in the 60s era reefer madness. He seems like
right.
He wants to be...
I'm going to have to stop you there. Jacob Engels, the publisher of the Central Florida Post. Go see it online. I'm Roger Stone. You're at the War Room, and we'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Right place. It's the War Room, and I'm your host, Roger Stone. My normal co-host, Owen Schroyer, is in the field trying to push back any potential blue wave and foment a red wave here in the state of Texas. Let's go live to Owen Schroyer on the ground at the grassroots and see what's going on.
I disagree with InfoWars, too. I think you lie a lot. So I guess.
What do we lie about?
Just about everything.
Well, just name one thing.
I'm not good about being put on this spot.
Okay, well, you came out here and you called us liars, so, I mean, can you cite one thing we lie about?
That's up to me. Obama's birthplace, probably.
Well, his own wife said he was from Kenya, so was that just a mistake?
There's one of your lies.
No, I'm asking you. His wife said his hometown of Kenya. That's what. And there's a sign in Kenya that says Obama's birthplace, so what's that? Is that fake news?
You sound like lies.
But I'm just telling you a fact. I'm not saying whether he was born here or not. No, it's a fact. Michelle said he was born in Kenya, and there's a sign in Kenya that says Barack Obama's birthplace. That's a fact. That's not me saying he was born anywhere. What do you think about that?
I think anybody could put up a sign saying whatever they want, and I don't know that Michelle said that. I never saw that before.
What about you can keep your doctor? Was that a lie?
That was the intention, insurance.
What about does Trump have a magic wand?
No.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. So, another liberal that knows nothing. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, awesome. Schroyer the Destroyer, man.
Hey, what brought you out here today?
Okay, honestly, I just drove in from San Antonio. I got a test tomorrow, but I really didn't care. Because you know what? This is our last stand before the election. And if this election goes sour, like, you could say, hey, you should be going to class, you should be focusing on college, but you know what? This country goes sour. We have mass caravans pouring in.
I have my permission to put me on info.
It's a first-person consent state, ma'am, so I don't need your permission.
Well, you don't have my permission.
Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, well, it's all live, and it's a first-person consent state, so you shouldn't have come out here if you didn't want to be on camera.
Welcome to America.
Don't you love how they love free speech?
Listen. This is America. You can either get shot with my camera or my gun. It's your choice.
All right, we're not going to shoot anyone with guns out here. I just want to be clear. But anyway, so you're out here talking to people, or you're holding up a sign that talks about the economy under Trump, which a lot of people don't even know about. So you're trying to just tell the people about the good news in the economy.
Exactly. It's like people don't care to look at that. They just want to focus on all this, you know, racist, sexist, homophobia, which doesn't even exist under Trump. In a lot of cases, Antifa's that way, or all these leftist groups. They'll show the exact same hypocrisy, but since the news media has a louder megaphone, like, this is our only opportunity. This is one of our few opportunities. You know, media that's more favored towards the right, it doesn't have as big of a voice, and now they're setting forward. They're taking every move they can to censor these groups. You know they censored InfoWars. They're censoring everyone else. Alex Jones predicted this for a long time. They know he's right. They know in a fair fight there will be a huge red wave.
Hey, look, we got some lefties. I got to catch these guys on camera. All right, let's see. Yeah, hold on 1 second, my man. Hey, come on, man, let's talk. So why don't you like Trump?
I think all politicians are fucked up and corrupt, but... You know,
but Trump wasn't a politician. He's not a politician.
Yeah, you're right, and it's shitty that he had to prove that we have to
I'm
have politicians.
Roger Stone. You're at the War Room. We're going to cut now from that lively dropping of F-bombs where Owen Schroyer is local on site. We are facing one of the most important elections in our history. Now, in my 40 years as an American political operative, they say that in every election. They really do. But this one, it may actually be true. There's a piece up at Big League Politics today in which I told their reporter yesterday that I honestly believe if the Democrats take control of the House, no matter what they say today, they will vote articles of impeachment against our president. It's unlikely that those articles of impeachment will be based on anything having to do with Russian collusion, because Russian collusion is a myth. It is essentially a false narrative that was designed to distract people from the actual crime of using the surveillance power of the state under illegal FISA warrants to spy on Donald Trump's campaign. potentially a bombshell much greater than Watergate. So I have no doubt that the Democrats taking control of the House, not only will they try to drag me back in front of the House Intelligence Committee, where I can tell you, if my lawyers would let me testify, my testimony would be identical to the testimony that I gave last year, because nothing has changed and everything I said under oath was true and remains true today. Eric Swalwell, the member of Congress from California, says that's not true, but he's protected by congressional immunity. You see, I can't sue him because he's a member of Congress. But were the Democrats to take control, they will vote articles of impeachment. And then, as I told Big League Politics, they will drag some of the 19 women who accused Donald Trump of sexual assault during the 2016 campaign, but then faded, back before the American people. These women will be paraded in a show trial in the U.S. Senate, and the same standards of evidence that were established in the Kavanaugh matter will be used here. These women will have no evidence, no proof, no eyewitnesses, no corroboration of their claims against Donald Trump, but we will be told, because they are survivors, because they are women, they must be believed. This is their insidious plan to take down the president. That's why every single vote counts. It's why control of the House is pivotal. If the president gets a split decision tonight, the Republicans hold the Senate, but they lose the House, do not assume that that means Donald Trump is immune from this impeachment, because the truth is the two-party duopoly and the leadership of both corrupt political parties oppose the reform agenda of Donald Trump, and they both believe that his election was an affront to their two-party duopoly control of the deep state. So, fireworks in store if the Democrats take control of the House. Congressman Jerry Nadler from Manhattan, Congressman Adam Schiff from California, if it's Schiff, flush it, will be screaming for my blood Wednesday morning. Whether or not my attorneys would ever let me be in that situation in which I would be back under oath while I'm clearly under federal investigation for non-existent crimes, I can't tell you. But I do know that if I did testify, my testimony would be identical to what I said some time ago under oath to the committee. Why? Because it's the truth. You see, when you are telling the truth, you don't have to memorize anything. The stories about my shifting my position are false. I've gotten new information, but I have always told the truth.
Infowars.com/show.
We're exposing the bad guys. It's absolutely clear. Uranium One is the largest treasonous crime in American history.
Trigger alert. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Mueller, Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein, these men should be in prison. Jeff Sessions, wherever you are, wake the F up. Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, and you're at the right place. That's right. It's the War Room here at Infowars.com. Joining us now is a man who had the courage to get in the arena. You see, there's a great quote from Theodore Roosevelt who said that the credit belongs to the man who has the courage to get in the arena, not to the critic who stands to the side and criticizes how the man in the arena could do better, but to the person in the arena who, although he struggles mightily and he falls short again and again, will at the end of the day know the great thrill of victory or the agony of defeat, as opposed to the timid souls who stand on the sidelines and criticize those who actually get in the arena. Joining us now, running for Congress against Maxine Waters, conceivably the stupidest and most corrupt member of the U.S. Congress, Omar Navarro, Republican candidate for Congress in the 43rd District of California. Omar, welcome to the War Room.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Roger. How you doing?
Well, you're in a valiant struggle there. I know that. You're outnumbered in a very difficult district, but you're the man in the arena. You've had the courage to take on the Maxine Waters political machine. Now, Maxine Waters makes a huge amount of money by selling her endorsement to other Democratic candidates down ballot for these phony sample ballots. And the money, of course, is paid to her daughter, who also profiteers off of Maxine Waters' campaign financing. But I know this is an uphill struggle, and I give you huge credit for the fact that you've been in there fighting from day one. You had to win a crowded, multi-candidate jungle primary, as they call it, to get on the ballot tomorrow. How do you feel about tomorrow's election?
One, I'm very optimistic. I'm very confident about this race. We've been working really hard. Maxine Waters has actually taken the seat for granted. The only thing that she's actually done to campaign, she sent out one mailer, and she's been going around trying to intimidate people into voting for her, but that's not going to work out. I mean, we've done a lot of direct mail in the district. We put up over 2,000 signs. We put up 10 billboards. We've been getting a lot of our message out there through TV and other sources of media. We've been going out very strong and walking door to door, whether it's making phone calls. We're working every day, and we're going to work to the last day, and we're going to show an upset. We're not here to lose. We're here to win.
Well, Omar, I think a lot of people don't realize how much this district has changed over time. It is no longer a majority African-American district. It's a plurality Hispanic-American district. You, of course, are a Hispanic-American yourself and proud of it. I think that's going to play a major factor here. And you've run a truly grassroots campaign. I mean, I went out there to speak at a fundraiser for you, and I was very impressed at the many people you were able to organize to come to your side. And you have, of course, nothing near the multi-million dollar resources available to Maxine Waters and her machine cronies. But let me ask you this. How many illegal voters do you see in your district? And do you think that this is an issue or a problem?
Yeah, I definitely believe that this is a problem in the district. I mean, there's going to be a lot of illegal voting going on, and I wouldn't be surprised of it. But what we've been doing is we've been going out there. We've been making sure that we've increased the Republican registration of voters to turn out and vote. That's a big factor in it, but also independents and also talking to Democrats, too. So if there's any kind of type of illegal voting, we're still able to counter it by encouraging people that are already registered to vote that are legal and getting them to jump on board the Omar train, not the Maxine Waters train. That's not good for us, not good for our local economy, not good for our country. No one wants someone so divisive to represent them anymore. They want someone that's going to bring them together.
I think the biggest problem that Maxine Waters may face is the fact that the James Brown Foundation wants their wig back. And I think that's a giant issue. Also, the fact that she doesn't even live in this district. She lives in an adjoining area in a multi-million dollar mansion that she has somehow afforded on a congresswoman's salary. Now, I recall very distinctly when it was revealed that she had pressured the federal government to bail out a bank where she and her husband owned bank stock, and he had actually been a director of the bank, none of which, of course, she had disclosed. If she were, let's say, a Hispanic Republican, she'd be in jail right now. To what extent is her corruption an issue in this campaign?
Well, let me jump into it, Roger. Remember when she had the FBI look into me and try to investigate me for some dumb document that I tweeted out? I mean, like, that's what's happening right now. You have someone that's in power that's abusing their power, and they're trying to find any little detail. I mean, because they're scared. I mean, they know that this district is winnable for me. But that's why they target me. They want to make sure that they do everything possible to make my life miserable. And they're not going to succeed because I've worked thus hard and I'm not going to stop working hard for the people of this district. Regardless of whatever happens, I've worked a really hard campaign and there's victory in the near future. And we're going to do whatever we can to win tomorrow. And if we don't, we're going to keep going in the next race.
Well, I give you enormous credit because, as I said at the top, you are the man in the arena. And the credit belongs to people like Omar who have the courage to run against incredible odds. Getting into this race took some pretty big cojones, and you've got them, my friend. Tell people how they can contribute, because I know at this point every dollar counts. Even this late, you can utilize money. So tell people how they can help your campaign for Congress.
Yeah, they can go to my website at omarnavarro.com and they can make a donation. They could go also to thebeatmaxine.com. It goes straight to my website. Either one, it's which is easier for the find, it's better. But please help out. I really need the help. The last minute push always helps out. We have TV ads right now that are running and we could always increase the budget. We'll run more ads. That's great for us.
All right, there you have it. Omar Navarro, valiant Republican candidate for Congress in the 43rd District. Challenging Maxine Waters, a symbol of the corruption and the incompetence of the Democrats in Congress, conceivably the stupidest and most corrupt member of the Democratic minority, and of course in line to become a committee chairman if the Democrats take control tomorrow. Yet another great reason to get out and vote tomorrow. Omar Navarro, God bless you and good luck to you.
God bless, Roger.
You're on The War Room. I'm Roger Stone. Take a minute now to go to the Infowars.com store where we have some phenomenal specials. If you're enjoying what Owen and I do here every day at The War Room, please recognize it is only possible through your loyal patronage at the Infowars.com store. And the incredible specials that we're running now will not last forever. My personal favorite, Brain Force Plus, an all-natural supplement that gives you mental clarity and energy. When I get that 4 o'clock in the afternoon dip, a couple of these capsules really restore me and give me the energy to go on InfoWars and continue the fight for freedom. And now you can get it at a very special price at the InfoWars.com store where it is on special. This has over 6,000 satisfied customers. You can read the reviews yourself. It is a sure winner, and you will be a winner if you continue to support InfoWars by going to the store now. I'm Roger Stone. I'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the right place. That's right. It's the War Room here at InfoWars, and this will be the place to be tonight for the coming election night coverage. We're going to be with you until the wee hours, both tonight for the setup and tomorrow for the live coverage, to find out whether America is going forwards or whether we're going backwards. It is really up for grabs, in my opinion. We are going to catch up now with a terrific clip of the President of the United States speaking out against Antifa at a Georgia rally. Let's go to that.
Republicans produce jobs. Democrats produce mobs. You've heard that. You've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. Antifa. They take the helmet off. And they take the armbands, and you see these little arms. And then they see the clubs in their hand. You know, they're tough guys, right? Where are the bikers for Trump? Where are the police? Where are the military? Where are the ICE? Where are the Border Patrol? No. No. We've taken a lot. We've taken a lot, folks. But you see these guys, you take off their helmet, their black helmet, their black outfit with the pads, or tough guys, you know, and they're swinging clubs viciously. They couldn't care less who they hit. These are bad people. These are people causing problems, and the press doesn't want to talk about them.
There you go. That's vintage Donald Trump. And isn't it refreshing to have a president who actually supports our law enforcement people, who actually supports the police, who actually supports the Border Patrol, who actually supports the brave agents of ICE who try to round up people who are trying to cheat the system and enter the country or stay in the country illegally, probably so they can vote. But what really amazes me is the criticism of that speech by Joe Scarborough. Let's take a look.
I got to say, it's kind of crazy. Just kind of crazy. Yeah,
President Trump yesterday in
Georgia.
I don't
think it's helping either, because if you look at the polls that are coming out.
Wondering where the bikers for Trump are in response to armed thugs in the streets.
Like, what does that even mean?
He just loves to talk about things that are controversial and inciting.
Security. What is
violence.
You know, did he not did he not see what happened when Mick Jagger hired Hell's Angels at Altamont?
Yeah, I don't think he remembers that.
Doesn't end well.
But the entire theme of his campaign, the underlying theme, I think, I hear, it's security. The immigration stuff, it's security. Yeah. Women are afraid, security. It's a very short step from that rhetoric to saying that I want some volunteer citizens to provide security at my rallies and to bring their weapons. And that puts us spiraling into a terrible direction.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, during the campaign, he was, talking about violence, talking about beating people up, talking about, hey, I'll pay for your lawyer. He just a couple weeks ago bragging about, you know, a congressman, talking about he loves a congressman that will throw a member of the press down. I just
have five partisans posing as journalists. Joe Scarborough had no problem whatsoever with Donald Trump when he was laying by the pool at Mar-a-Lago drinking his whiskey and eating his food. Mika had no problem with Donald Trump when she was recommending members for the White House staff who went on to be hired. No, everything was fine then. You see, Joe Scarborough fell out with Donald Trump when he found out that he wasn't on the short list for vice president. Yes, that's the truth. Congressman Matt Gaetz, a real valiant warrior for this country, and one of the true leaders of the revolution in the House, one who's been forthright in the Russian collusion investigation defending our president and attacking the Democrats for their partisan witch hunt, has taken the seat of Joe Scarborough. And he told me that Joe always wanted to be president. Joe thought he would leave the Congress to become president, and he was bitterly disappointed when he wasn't selected on the Trump ticket. So that's the source of his pathetic animus. John Avalon, the others, they pretend to be journalists, but they're really liberals. They're biased, and there is lack of prejudice or political motive in their comments. MSNBC is not a news organization. You see lie after lie every night. Ari Melber, oh my God, this guy's pathetic. Nick Ackerman, this guy's a buffoon. He doesn't understand that it is now proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Watergate special prosecutor was indeed trafficking in illegal communications with the Watergate prosecutors. But Nick was a former prosecutor, and he likes to spend most of his time maligning me. He's actually said that I'm a Russian agent, that I left the campaign of Donald Trump in an arrangement where I would be the contact with the Russian government. Nick, be very careful. What you're saying is defamatory. You didn't say could be or might be or could have been, you formally accused me of treason. You accused me of breaking the law. I've had lawyers look at it. I may yet catch up with you. Stop defaming me. You can't support any of those statements because they're not true. You were wrong about Watergate, and you're wrong about this, too. Just another fake voice on MSNBC pretending to be journalists. Ari Melber actually worked as a Democratic consultant, so don't try to pretend that you're some objective journalist giving both sides of the story. You're a propagandist for the deep state and the Democratic Party, and you lost in 2016, and you're still butthurt over it. I understand, but stop accusing me and defaming me, because I will catch up with you, too. The courts are set up for that. So let's see what happens going forward. I'm Roger Stone, and I kind of know how the Christians felt when they're being led into the Colosseum. If you were watching Matt Drudge over the weekend and his terrific Drudge Report, there's a terrific piece in The Hill, which was actually pretty balanced, that explains the witch hunt into Roger Stone. The allegation that I knew about the source or content of the WikiLeaks disclosures, that I passed anything of the kind, including allegedly hacked emails, onto Donald Trump or the Trump campaign, is false, and there is no evidence to support that narrative. Now, the new theme that somehow, after the NBC revelations by Billy Bush that were supposed to so badly harm Donald Trump's prospects, where he said, grab their, well, you know, that I somehow coordinated with WikiLeaks or Assange for a subsequent disclosure of material on Hillary Clinton to distract from the NBC story, that is whole cloth. That is false. Now, I read in the New York Times that two top officials of the Trump campaign have backed the account of that chronic loser, Steve Bannon, saying that Stone was promoting his relationship with WikiLeaks. Those men, David Bossie, a man who is so dumb, if his IQ was 1 point lower, you'd have to water him, and Corey Lewandowski, I described him in the movie Get Me Roger Stone. You might want to take a look. It's a word you can't use on a family show like The War Room. But these guys pass a false narrative. I had no need to impress them or to suck up to the Trump campaign. Why, a reporter asked me today, were you reaching out to Steve Bannon? Easy. To tell him how to elect Donald Trump president, because he had no idea. He's never elected anybody to anything anywhere. I have a 40-year career in American politics and have worked in 10 presidential campaigns. I was trying to help Donald Trump with my outreach to get Bannon focused on what mattered in the most important election in my lifetime. Anyway, I'm Roger Stone. This has been The War Room. Join us tonight at InfoWars for the beginning of our epic election coverage. We are going to have many voices, including the great Alex Jones, breaking it down for you and trying tonight to give you a preview of what is to come. In the meantime, please take a moment to go to thestonedefensefund.com and help me. I'm in the greatest struggle of my life as the deep state seeks retribution and revenge for the role I played in electing Donald Trump and defeating Hillary Clinton. I need your help, and I need it now.